إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد، أيها الإخوة في الله، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We started the discussion on the أوقات الصلاة, which the author Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani titled as باب المواقيت, the chapter of the timings of Salah. We talked about Salatul Asr. Insha'Allah, we will continue with Waqtu Salatul Maghrib, the timing for the prayer of Al-Maghrib. Still on the hadith of Abdullah bin Amr bin Al-Asi رضي الله عنهما, he said, ووقت صلاة المغرب ما لم يجب الشفق. The time of Salatul Maghrib continues as long as the shafak, the reddish twilight, has not disappeared. We know when the sun rises in the morning, it goes up, it gets to the meridian, then it starts going to the west. So it will get to a point where the sun will disappear. After the disappearance of the sun, there will be a kind of light which is left behind. That light is referred to as Ash-Shafaq Al-Ahmar, the reddish twilight. As long as that light is still there, it means the time of Salatul Maghrib has not elapsed. With the disappearance of that light, it means the end of Salatul Maghrib and the commencement of Salatul Al-Isha. So when we go back to the hadith of Abdullah bin Amr bin Al-Asi, رضي الله عنهما, he said, ووقت صلاة المغرب, the time of the prayer of Maghrib, ما لم يغيب الشفق, as long as the reddish twilight has not disappeared. The disappearance of the reddish twilight differs from one country to another, one season to another. In some places, it may last for about 1 hour plus, 1 hour, 12 minutes. In some places, it could be more than that. Even in Britain, at times, that reddish twilight will not disappear until after hours. So, and that's why the timing between Salatul Isha and Salatul Fajr at times in Britain are very close. So which led some of them to ask, what could they do? Could they combine Salatul Maghrib and Salatul Isha? Because they would like to go to bed to sleep. And if the timing of Salatul Maghrib has not elapsed, That means Salatul Isha has not come. So if that takes hours, it means the people will have to wait, or they will go to bed. For them to say they are coming back for Salatul Isha, this will be difficult for some people. So in some seasons, they witness this in Europe. And in the Scandinavian countries, at times, they witness something like this. So we can say the period between Salatul Maghrib and Salatul Isha is 1 hour 30 minutes, as some people will say. This will be incorrect. And if I say it is 1 hour 12 minutes, it will be incorrect. If you look at it in Nigeria, for instance, it will not be up to 50 minutes at times. It will not be up to 50 minutes. Now, let's say Salatul Maghrib comes around, let's say around 6:30 something. So by 7:25 or thereabout, or let's say 7:30 something thereabout, so Salatul Isha is coming. So at times maybe an hour or less than an hour, it depends on the season. So and that's why we cannot really say this is the minute between Maghrib and Isha. So what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, waqtu salatil maghrib ma lam yaghib ash-shafaq. The timing of salatil maghrib continues as long as the reddish twilight has not disappeared. So when the reddish twilight disappears, that marks the end of Salatul Maghrib and it marks the beginning of Salatul Isha. Wa waqtu Salatul Isha ila nisfil layl. The time of Salatul Isha starts from the disappearance of the reddish twilight ila nisfil layl, till half of the night, al awsat, till half of the night. So how do we determine the half of the night? Which the coming or the setting of the sun, so to say, with the setting of the sun, the night has started. So the night continues till the appearance of the true dawn, till the appearance of the true dawn. That is how we measure the night in Islam, according to a stronger opinion, between sunset and the appearance of the true dawn. So when we calculate the hours between these two periods and we divide it into two, we get half of the night. We get half of the night. So this will be around maybe to 12, past 12, thereabouts. So Salatul Isha is time extends, that is, till half of the night, according to this hadith. However, in the hadith of Abu Qatada, radiallahu anhu, it is understood from that hadith, according to the majority of the scholars, that Salatu al-Isha is time extends till the appearance of the true dawn. Till the appearance of the true dawn. And there is a general text of the statement of the Messenger of Allah. The general meaning of that statement of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There was a day they were traveling, and they had traveled in the night, so they had to sleep. So Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam instructed some people that they should take care of the timing of the salah. But as Allah would have it, they did not wake up until the sun had risen. Messenger of Allah was the first person to wake up. When he woke up, so they had to leave that place and they had to observe the Salatul Subh. The Messenger of Allah said the statement, Laysa tafrid fin nawm. The one who is asleep will not say the person is negligent of Salah, because he doesn't know what is going on around him. Innama tafridu fil yaqadha. How innama tafrid an yuakhir ar-rajul waqt as-salat hatta yaji'a waqtu al-ukhra. What we call negligence is for a man to delay the prayer until the time of another prayer comes in. To delay a prayer till the time of another prayer comes in. So if we want to go by the general implication of this hadith, it means the time of Zuhr does not go out until what? Asr comes. The time of Asr does not go out until Maghrib comes. The time of Maghrib does not go out until Isha comes in. And the time of Isha doesn't go out until the time of Subh comes in. You get it? So this is the way majority of the scholars, the way they've understood it. However, the last one is to say the time of Subh doesn't go out until the time of Zuhr comes out. But they all have consensus that the time of Subh goes out with the appearance of the sun. Sunrise, the time is the end of Salatul Subh. So there is consensus on this. However, majority of the scholars, they hold to the general implication of that hadith. لَيْسَ التَّفْرِيجُ فِي النَّوْمِ إِنَّمَا التَّفْرِيجُ فِي الْيَقَظَةِ أَوْ إِنَّمَا التَّفْرِيجُ أَنْ يُؤَخِّرَ الرَّجُلُ وَقْتَ الصَّلَاةِ حَتَّى يَجِيءَ وَقْتُ الصَّلَاةِ الْأُخْرَى حَتَّى يَجِيءَ وَقْتُ الصَّلَاةِ الْأُخْرَى. So this is what the majority of the scholars they hold on to. However, wallahu alam, the stronger opinion will be that the hadith of Abdullah ibn Amir ibn al-Asi that says the time of Salah till Isha goes out with the when the night halves. So the time of Salah till Isha goes out. So this, wallahu alam, will be the stronger opinion. However, there are situations where one would be in a necessity. Like those who are performing Hajj, for instance, when the pilgrims, when they leave Arafah, ordinarily they are expected to delay their Salatul Isha and Salatul Maghrib till they get to Muzdalifah. But in the recent time, it is very difficult for people to leave Arafah, even at Maghrib time, not everybody will be able to set out. The buses will be looking for a way to go out of Arafah. So it will not be possible for all the buses to go out of Arafah at the same time. So some people won't leave the plain of Arafah, that is because their buses are not able to go out until maybe, let's say, 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock. So when are they going to get to Muzdalifah, where they will combine Salatul Maghrib and Isha? So questions like this come up, how are we going to do? Should we pray Salatul Al-Maghrib while you are still in Arafah, which is not the Sunnah? The Sunnah is to delay it till you get to Muzdalifah. So if you want to delay it till you get to Muzdalifah, half of the night will have gone for majority of the people, because their bosses will not be able to go out of Arafah. And even if they go out of Arafah, they may not be able to get to Muzdalifah. So what are they going to do? So in this case, a professional majority of the scholars will favor them, because most likely they are likely to get there before Fajr. They are likely to get there before Fajr. So in a situation like this, one may take to the position of majority of the scholars. However, if one will get there until after Fajr, then in that case one has to pray in the bus, or one has to disembark and look for a way to preach, because one must not delay Salatul Isha till it is beyond the time of Subhi. So let's assume that it happens, that maybe the sun will always be rising when one gets there. So this shouldn't happen. But most likely one is going to get here before Salatul Subhi. So this, the view of majority of the scholars, may be strong here. So what are we going to say about this hadith that says, walk to Salatul Isha ila nisfil layl al-awsat. The time of Salatul Isha is half the night. Majority of the scholars, they say this is talking about al-waqt al-ikhtiyari, that is a preferred time. The preferred time. Huh? In fact, the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that he preferred that the Salatul Isha is delayed till maybe one third of the night has gone. Huh? That is preferred. Other salawat, it is preferred that you pray them at the early time. But Salatul Isha, it is preferred you delay it till a third of the night has gone. So, al-waqt al-ikhtiyari, according to majority of the scholars, will be between the disappearance of the reddish twilight and half of the night. So they say this is talking about waqt al-ikhtiyari. So what about waqt al-daruri? They said waqt al-daruri extends till subh. It extends to subh. So, and the one who is performing Hajj coming from Arafah, as we have said, such a person is in a state of darura. Is in a state of darura. So the only thing is that he shouldn't delay it till the sun now appears, so to say, or he shouldn't delay it till the time of Fajru is almost going. So, as I've said, that this is what majority of the scholars are upon. ووقت صلاة الصبح من طلوع الفجر ما لم تطلع الشمس. The time of صلاة الصبح is من طلوع الفجر, from the appearance of the true dawn. ما لم تطلع الشمس, as long as the sun has not risen. Now we know there are two fajr, al-fajr fajran. We have the al-fajr al-sadiq and al-fajr al-kadhib. Al-fajr al-kadhib, this they call the fake fajr. It is also a light. So the light appears from the east and it goes up, it climbs, going to the west, east to the west. But that light doesn't last long. Huh? It breaks and it somehow disappears. When it disappears, you look at the east again. You see another light that has spread to the south and to the north. Okay, this is the east where we face while we are praying. So, the Fajr al-Kadhib, the fake Fajr, the light appears from the east and it ascends going to the west. So, but that light will not last. It will be breaking easily. All of a sudden, you just see another light from the north to the south. So that one will last and it will be expanding, turning reddish. All of a sudden, you just see the sun coming out. You see the sun coming out. The reason why it's turning reddish is because the sun is coming. The sun is climbing. Now, what time is Fajr exactly? We know that the sun that has set, we said it leaves behind a light, the kind of reddish light that we call the reddish twilight. Later, that light disappears. Why did the light disappear? The light disappears because the sun has gone far away from the horizon where we can see it, that is in the west. We can no longer see it, it has been far. So the sun is going, so only to reappear again on the horizon. But this time around it will be the east, not the west. The sun sets in the west, leaving behind light, but later we can no longer see the light because the sun has been far away from us. So the sun is going, then reappearing again in the east. But before the sun appears, before the disk of the sun appears, you will see the light of the sun coming. So that light is what they call the Fajr. So the fake light will come first. This is what they call the Fajr Kazim. But later the real light will come. And the way the sun is coming up, the light will be what? Will be stronger. Will be stronger. So will be more reddish, so to say. All of a sudden you just see the sun appears. Now, according to scholars, they have differed on how we want to go scientific, so to say. The scholars, what we have in the hadith is what Al-Fajru As-Sadiq, when the true Fajru appears. But what is the true Fajr? So the scientists, they have what they call the astronomical twilight, the nautical twilight, and the civic twilight. So, and they said to us that the astronomical twilight is the first twilight, is the first light you see, that is, as the sun is coming to the horizon, and that will be around 18 degrees below horizon, 18 degrees below horizon. So then, followed by the nautical twilight. The nautical twilight, that one will be around 12 degrees below horizon. Then followed by the civic twilight, which will be around 6 degrees below horizon. The astronomical twilight, they call it astronomical twilight because the astronomers, some of the stars can be seen by then. So they call the other one the nautical because the captains and the likes, so they use it on the sea to determine their movements. And the civic one is one of us use. That is when we can see each other or one another easily. You can see and recognize one another. That is, we are talking where there is no light now. The only thing we are relying on is what? Maybe the star, and what? And the light of the, or plus the moon, plus the light of the sun that is trying to appear. Now that astronomical twilight, is it the Fajr? Is it the Fajr we are talking about? Some said yes, that is the Fajr we are talking about. So and that's why they will say when the sun is below the horizon, 18 degrees below the horizon, that is what? The time for the Fajr. Some said no, that is the fake Fajr, not the real Fajr that is being talked about, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is referring to. So which one is the real Fajr? Scholars discuss. Like the Muslim World League, they chose the 18 degree below horizon. They chose the 18 degree below horizon. Some scholars say that is not correct, as I mentioned. They say this is what is close to what the Messenger of Allah talked about is 15 degrees below horizon. That is in between the astronomical twilight and the nautical twilight. So 15 degrees below horizon, according to their own observation. Some people, they carried out research, watch the Fajr, maybe for a period of a year, and they discover that the 18 degree below horizon is incorrect. So this has been something that has been on for long that scholars have been talking about. In fact, some people, they even said it is 19 degree below horizon. 19 degree below horizon. So some of that way, that your 19 degree below horizon is even before the
The so-called astronomical twilight that descends is also recognized. So that's why the one they are using in Saudi Arabia, the Umm al-Qura, that they are using. You know, when you look at your phone, you say if you download an application, the timing of Salah. So you go to setting, for instance, they ask you to choose one of the, maybe the timing you want to use. Is it Muslim World League? Is it Umm al-Qura? Is it Egyptian General Survey? Is it Isna? Is it this? Maybe at least they will give you about five. Some may even include that of the Shia, some may include maybe that of Dubai, UAE, and maybe at times we'll have about seven. And all of them, they are saying different things, but they all base it on the grid below the horizon. That of Muslim World League, you see, they tell you if you just choose it, you go there, you choose your country, your state in your country, so they rely on 18 degrees below horizon. They tell you the timing of Salah is so and so. The one of the Umm al-Qura, which they rely on in Saudi Arabia, so was originally written by a man called Dr. Nuh. So later when the man was challenged, how did you come about this? He could not provide the convincing evidence for that. Some people went to him, some professors and the likes, they went to him to challenge him. How did you arrive at this? So he could not really establish that. So later it was changed to, instead of 19 degrees, they changed it to 18.5 degrees. So, and each degree is about 4 or so minutes. So meaning, when these people are saying it is time for soap, when those people who say 18.5 degrees below rising, like the Umm al-Qura calculation, it won't be time for soap, according to the Muslim World League calculation, until after 2 minutes, you get it. So when you go to that of Egyptian General Survey, they also picked 19 degrees or so. So meaning, even there will be earlier than that of the calculation of the Umm al-Qura. As for that of Isna, so there they pick 15 degrees below horizon. So meaning what? Between 18 and 15, you know how many minutes? That's about 4 or 12 minutes. Huh? If each degree is what? Is 4 minutes. So meaning what part of Isna will be, there will be 12 minutes difference between that of Isna and that of the Muslim World League. Between that of the Saudi Arabia, there will be about 14 minutes. Between that of the Egypt, there will be about what? 15 minutes. So which one is correct? So all this you can do on your phone. You can pick your phone and watch. And you start choosing. Go to searching. You see which calculation. You pick one. When you pick, you choose your country, your state. So they will be changing like that. So it's something that is easy to operate. And that's why some people, maybe it is watch the watch. They say, this is my watch. Will tell you the time of solar. Which calculation? The same thing, the program on your watch. It may be Umm al-Qura, it may be this, it may be that. So and that's why we have to understand what is in the text and what people are trying to, using the computer or the light is just to make things easy for us. But the issue is that those who have resorted to computer also, they have not agreed among themselves too. They've not agreed upon them, among themselves too. So now you can throw away the text and stick to the computer where they do not agree among themselves. It's just like the timing of the case of the moon sighting. When moonsighting.com is telling you that this is the time that will be the first of Ramadan, maybe the European Council of Fatwa Research, we have what, a difference, maybe there will be a day difference. And some people are clamoring in Nigeria that we should go scientific, that they can tell us when will be Ramadan, maybe 50 years to come. Now the issue is, what will be Ramadan 50 years to come according to the astronomy calculation? Do you all agree on that? Even the astronomers themselves do not agree on that. What they agree on is when the new moon is going to be born. So when will it be visible? in places around the globe, there is no agreement. They can tell you that the new moon is going to be born on so and so day, so and so time, so and so minutes, seconds. They can tell you that. There is almost agreement among them on that. But when will I see it in Nigeria, in Lagos? So they can say there is possibility of seeing it so and so, at so and so place. So if, and that's why the scholars are telling us, let us rely on what, on the naked sighting. If you rely on naked sighting, and people fast, it is announced, and you fast. And on the day of Qiyamah, you are asked by Allah, why did you fast on so and so day? Say, based on what? The naked sighting. But when you say it is said scientifically that it is so and so, did Allah ask you to use science to determine it? So, and that's why we have to exercise caution when it comes to things like this. For us to rely on what you are asked to do and fail is better than what? Going for something that you have not been instructed to do and watch and fail. So if we fail, we shouldn't blame anybody except us. But we want to use it as rough guide. So this is okay. So according to what we have practiced maybe for almost a year or two, though it has been long, more than 15 or so years, is that it is around 16.5 degree below horizon. Around 16.5 degree below horizon. So it is good that you also try to check our own area. But what we discovered, trying to compare what we see and watch, if we want to convert it to degree below horizon, is around 16.5 degree below horizon, not in conformity with that of the Isna. That of the Isna is too late. Nor is it in conformity with that of the Muslim World League or that of the Ummul Qura. So, but let us try as much as possible to keep to what has been said in the text. وَلَوْ مِنْ حَدِيثِ بُرَيْدَةَ فِي الْعَصْرِ. He said it, he also has, that is in Sahih Muslim, in Hadith Buraida, in the Hadith of Buraida, في العصر, concerning Salat al-Asr. وَالشَّمْسُ بَيْضَى نَقِيَّةِ. Why the sun is بَيْضَى, is still white, نَقِيَّة, pure. That is the timing of Salah, Salat al-Asr. He observed it, why the sun is still pure, white, pure in the sky, not when the sun is about to set. So as long as the timing, the sun hasn't set, the time of Salatu al-Asri is still around. But it's not okay for us to delay it till the time of while the sun is almost setting. Something maybe around this time, maybe some minutes later, delay Salat al-Asr till that time because the sun hasn't set. This is not something that is advisable, as mentioned in the last sitting. Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Tilka Salat al-Munafiq, yajlis yarkubu al-shamsa hatta idha kanat bayna qarnay shaitan wa ma fanaqara arba'a la yadhkuru Allah fiha illa qalila." He said, sitting down, talking, doing things that are irrelevant, or things that are relevant to you but they are not that important before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sitting, watching the sun, is it about to set? Then when the sun is about to set, he gets up in order to observe Salatul Asr, because he doesn't want the sun to set before he observes it. So he will not be able to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his salah except in ritual. That's enough. Allah said that is the salah of the munafiq. As for those who are not munafiqun, they hasten to observe their salah. And now the Messenger of Allah will say, the best salah is what? A salatu fi awal waqtiha. To observe salah at the earliest part of it, of its time. That's the best. Except salatu al-isha, which is preferred to be delayed to about a third of the night. But the one who prays at that time won't say he hasn't prayed at the
time of salah. He has prayed at the time of salah, the one who delays it till the sun is almost setting. As long as the sun hasn't set, we say what? He has prayed at the time. But that is not the way of a serious Muslim. It is the munafiqun that get themselves busy with some other things, and when the sun is almost setting, they hurriedly observe Salatul Asri without remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala much.
One Abi Barz al-Aslami, from Abu Barz al-Aslami, قال, he said, كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يصلي العصر. He said, Messenger of Allah will observe Salatul Asr. ثم يرجع أحدنا إلى رحله في أقصى المدينة. Then one of us who go back to his rahlu, that is where his camel or his place, his house, will go there, في أقصى المدينة, at his the outskirts, close to the outskirts of Medina, the further most part of Medina. وَشَمْسُ حَيَّةٌ. Why the sun is still alive? Meaning the sun is not wasn't about to set. وَكَانَ يَسْتَحِبُّ أَنْ يُؤَخِّرَ مِنَ الْإِشَاءِ. He would love to delay Isha. وَكَانَ يَكْرَأُ النَّوْمَ قَبْلَهَا. He detested sleeping before observing Salatul Isha. He detested that. Not that it is haram, but Messenger of Allah detested sleeping before Salatul Isha. Because the one who sleeps before Salatul Isha will not wake up until Fajr. So it is good that one observes Salatul Isha before going to bed. One exercise patience to observe Salatul Isha after one has observed Salatul Maghrib. One shouldn't go and sleep after Salatul Maghrib, because that will lead to him not waking up for Salatul Isha, and this will lead eventually to him missing Salatul Isha when Salatul Fajri comes in. Wal haditha ba'daha. After Salatul Isha, Messenger of Allah also detested, not haram, to be talking, discussing with people after Salatul Isha. He detested that. Why? Because if you engage in discussion after Salatul Isha, one may discuss till, let's say, 2 a.m., 1 a.m., and in no time, one eventually falls asleep and one will not wake up until sunrise. But at times, the Messenger of Allah himself will discuss after Salatul Isha, he, Abu Bakr and Umar, concerning the matters, the affairs of the Muslim, if there was a need for that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to take care of our Salah. So anything that will make us miss the Salah is not something that is advisable. There was a woman called Ashifa. Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala recorded this in Muwatta. This son of this woman did not miss Salatu as-Subh. Why did he miss Salatu as-Subh? He was observing Tahajjud. So he had to watch. He wanted to sleep a bit. So, but he didn't wake up. So he missed Salatu as-Subh in Jama'ah. So when Umar passed by the house of the mother, he asked the mother, where is so-and-so? The mother said, oh, the reason he missed Salatul Fajr in Jama'ah in the masjid was that he was busy in the night with Tahajjud. Umar said, for me to miss Tahajjud and what? And meet, for me to miss Tahajjud at night and meet Salatul Fajr in Jama'ah is preferred. Is preferred to what? Is preferred to meeting Tahajjud at night and missing Salatul Al-Fajr in Jama'ah. You see it? So those who have understanding of fiqh, they know how to prioritize things. So praying in Jama'ah, in Salatu Subhi, is more rewardable than you not praying in Jama'ah in Salatu Subhi, and what using the whole night to observe tahajjud, according to what Umar radiallahu anhu said. Abu Barza radiallahu anhu said, وَكَانَ يَنْفَتِلُ مِنْ صَلَاتِ الْغَدَاتِ حِينَ يَعْرِفُ الرَّجُلُ جَلِيسًا. Messenger of Allah, when he entered Salatul Subhi, he will recite, and he will finish the Salah, the Ruku, the Sujood, everything, the Turak, he will finish everything. حِينَ يَعْرِفُ الرَّجُلُ جَلِيسًا. By the time that somebody will be able to recognize the one sitting beside him in the masjid. You know, there wasn't light. The masjid was not lit up. So, but by the time Messenger of Allah will recite and finish everything, you could be able to recognize the face of the person sitting behind you. Meaning what? There was still darkness. And this is the reason why some scholars have problem with those who say your Salatu al-Fajri, the Adhan, or Salatu al-Fajri doesn't come in until so and so time. When you now look at the time they are talking about, it's a time that when you are standing, you can recognize the person who is there. Are you with me? That is when they will say it is time for Salatu Subhi. Okay, go and call the Adhan. Then when you call the Adhan, try to implement what the Messenger of Allah will do. After the Adhan, what will you do? He will observe two rakah, he will watch, he will also sleep by his side for a while. Then the Mu'adhin will come to call him for the Salah proper. Then after that, when he entered, look at what Abu Barza said. وَيَكْرَهُ بِسِتِينَ بِسِتِينَ إِلَى الْمِئَةِ مُتَّفَقٌ عَلَيْهِ. So he will recite between 60 to 100 verses. And when you look at the Salah of the Messenger of Allah, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, his ruku and his watch, his qiyam, they are very close. The sujood, very close. So how many minutes will it take him to watch and do that? So the one who says the time of Subhi is around, when you standing here or sitting here can recognize the person who is far away. So if you want to implement all the things that Messenger of Allah will implement, it may be difficult. So some scholars, they tackle it from this angle that no, the time that you are talking about won't be the time for, you are talking about the time of Isfar. The time of Isfar. Because once you can see everybody going, you can see the recognize the face of somebody going, that is not the time of what? Al-Fajr Sadiq. That is what? Isfar. Because Messenger of Allah, what is in the hadith is that what? You solely be zealous. He will end his salah while there was still darkness. And he will recite 60 to 100 verses. So, and this is a very strong argument. So, and that's why, though those people who delay the Subhi prayer, that is to call Adhan at the time that people can see people. So, we are not saying they are not praying at the right time, as long as the sun has not risen. But is that the time they are supposed to do the Adhan? Meaning any person who prays before that time has no salah. Meaning the one who wants to fast, he can eat up to that time. That is the implication. It is something that a lot of people will not welcome. So that's why you have to look at all the texts and look at the reality to understand this. So Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will recite up to 60 to 100 verses in Salatu As-Subh. And at times it may be more than that, at times it may be less than that. But most of the time between 60 to 100 verses. So this is on the timing of the Salawat. Inshallah, we'll continue some other time. We pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase us in knowledge. And may subhanahu wa ta'ala make it beneficial to us and accept our ibadat. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Subhanaka ala wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Now. نعم الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله عباش. When is Salatul Khairu Min An-Nawm supposed to be called in Salatu in the Adhan of Subh? Now, this according to most scholars, the Salatul Khairu Min An-Nawm is supposed to be called the way people are calling it, the way people are used to. How this is clear. However, there are some scholars who said, no, it's not like that. It's not like that. And that is the view of Sheikh Al-Albani, rahimahullah ta'ala. However, this is something that is debatable. I'm trying to bring the hadith out. Now, Aisha radiallahu anha said, Kana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Iza sakata al-mu'adhinu bil-ula. Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whenever the mu'adhin finished the adhan, al-ula, the first adhan, min salat al-fajri or salat al-fajri, finish the adhan, Min Salat al-Fajr of Salat al-Fajr. Which adhan? The first adhan. Let me read it again. Iza sakata al-mu'adhinu bil-ula. If the mu'adhin finished the first adhan, Min Salat al-Fajr of Salat al-Fajr. Qama. Aisha talking. Qama. The messenger of Allah watch who get up. Faraka arakataini khafifataini. You observe two brief rakah. قبل صلاة الفجر before صلاة الفجر بعد أن يستدين الفجر after الفجر has been watched clear after الفجر has been clear when will he observe the two rakah when after الفجر has been clear that's number one. Number two, when would he again after the first adhan. ثم تجع على شكي لأيمن. Then after that, he watch, he will sleep on his right side. حتى يأتي المؤذن للإقامة. Till the muadhin will come and call him for إقامة. So I should ask, As-salatu khairu min an-nawm, when should we say it? There is a hadith that says what As-salatu khairu min an-nawm is what is in the first adhan. Are you with me? We all agree that As-salatu khairu min an-nawm is what? In the first adhan. Or where is it? Is it in the second adhan or the first adhan? The first adhan. But the issue is, which one is the first adhan? Now Aisha radiallahu anha said, if the muadhin finished the first adhan of Fajr, Messenger of Allah will get up, observe two rakah, then he watch, sleep by his side. Then, after that, the muadhin will call him for iqamah. So it means the adhan people will call, that is the first adhan of Fajr. As for the first one, the first adhan that the muadhin will call, that has nothing to do with Fajr. It is adhan of night. And that was why the Messenger of Allah said, Inna bilala yu'adhin bil-layl. Bilal will call his adhan at night. Kulu wa shrabu. Continue to eat and drink. Hatta you adhin ibn ummi maktub. I hope it is clear. So that adhan, the first adhan, is not the adhan of Fajr. It is adhan of night. But Allah wa alam, maybe Sheikh Al-Albani and those who, they took down to be first adhan, second adhan. But does that mean that Salatu Subhi has two adhan because she said what? She said the first adhan. Yes, Salatu Subhi has two adhan. What is the second adhan? Iqama. Salatu Zuhr has two adhan. What is the second adhan? Iqama. And that's what Rasulullah said what? Baina kulli adhanain, Salah. Between two azan, that is what? That is salah. Between two azan, that is salah. Meaning between azan and what? Iqama. Both of them, they have the same wordings. So they are both azan. And this wallahu alam is what most scholars are upon. So what the Abbas are doing in our society is not what is wrong. And this is the position of Sheikh Ibn Baz, Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen, many scholars. Wallahu alam. Okay. Salatul Duha. Now, Salatul Duha and Salatul Ishraq, they are the same. When you observe it immediately after the sun rises, maybe 12, 15 minutes after sunrise, after sunrise, 12, 15 minutes, because we shouldn't observe Salah after sunrise immediately. The Messenger of Allah said we should allow it to watch, to be like a turu muhasub. So that would be around 12, 15 minutes. So when you observe it that time, they call it Salatul Ishraq. They call it Salatul Ishraq. But it's the same as what Salatul Duha. So it continues till the sun gets to meridian. So Salatul Duha is between about 15 minutes after sunrise and what? And some minutes before before the sun is what gets to meridian. So, but the best time can be maybe at the timing of the early time that we talked about, based on the reward that is attached to it, or for us to delay it till the sun is cautious. Because the Prophet Allah said, Salatul Awwabin Hina Darmadul Fisal. The Salah of the those who turn to Allah often and often is when the small camels, when they are jumping because of the scorching sun, because of the heat of the sun. So Allahu A'lam. As for sleeping after Salatul Subhi, there is no any authentic hadith from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that prohibits that or frowns at it. This marfu, but it's authentic. There isn't any from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the hadith that says what as-subha, meaning sleeping after Salatul Subhi affects risk, so that hadith is what is murdur. However, there are asar from some of the companions like Abdullah bin Mas'ud that they detested sleeping after Salatul Subhi immediately. So after Salatul Subhi, it's either you are engaged in adhkar or you are engaged in some other things, maybe going for your business, so that you are supposed to do something, not going to bed. So and that's why the one who wants to go back to bed should be after sunrise. But between Salatul Subhi and what and sunrise, one should get oneself involved or engaged in one ibadah or one thing that has to do with worldly benefit rather than what going back to bed. But if there is necessity for somebody to do that, like the one working at night, for instance, so you'll have to sleep. So if he cannot bear that, then la yukallifu Allahu nafsan illa wus'aha. But there is no clear evidence from the Messenger of Allah SWT that prohibit that. Wallahu a'lam. Now, last question. As for saying it is for the people of idol worship, the idol worshippers, that has to do with when the sun is about to set. So, Wallahu alam. I think it is time for Maghrib. Okay, ask us. Asri has come in, but he hasn't praised Zuhr. He prays. That is after he has prayed Asri. No, that's not okay. He has to praise Zuhr first. So if he has a genuine excuse for not praying Zuhr at the right time until Asri comes in, so maybe the person sleeps off, or maybe the person isn't aware. So you can join them with the intention of Zuhr. Join those who are praying Asri with the intention of Zuhr, according to the Shafi'iyya. And this, Wallahu Alam, appears to be the stronger opinion. So he shouldn't delay it. So, and if he doesn't have genuine excuse, he still have to pray it, but it's sinful. Wallahu Alam. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت